Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, look, man, I'm back. We're going to try for season two of the HVAC Apprentice Podcast. Hey, look, I'm just glad you guys are rocking with me still. I'm still getting a lot of support for the podcast in Instagram form and email form. I appreciate the reviews. I really thank you for reaching out to me and making sure that everything was good and I was okay. I was able to see all of the comments and interactions. I just, you know, it's been a rough ride for me ever since I recorded the last podcast. But needless to say, I mean, I'm back. Things are going extremely well. I'm ready to start rocking back with you guys and giving you the knowledge that you need to help become a successful HVAC technician, especially in today's time. Man, I'm just so excited to be back. I'm so excited to start recording for you guys. I mean, we're going to have some good shows planned. Even though I haven't been recording the podcast, I've still been somewhat involved with podcasting. I got asked to do a couple different podcasts, one in Arizona with SBE, which I believe I mentioned that before, the company that, you know, Worley's participates in that allows us to track our goals and track our numbers and all that good stuff. And it helps us to be able to get, you know, certain milestones in the career that we otherwise would not have been able to track because, you know, it's just not something that we think about. Extremely fortunate enough to have been, you know, a part of that process. And, one of the SBE coaches, Derek Hoffrichter, he's actually, a really good coach, man. He asked me to be on this podcast and we did a quick 15-minute podcast, which I'll link in the description below. And that one was a blast. That was in Arizona. And then I was able to partner with Service Titan and do a podcast with them not too long ago, maybe a few weeks ago. So that one is actually live as well. So I've been busy. Things are great. I'm in a different place, different location. Bought a house in a small town of Smithfield in Virginia. And I really like it out here, man. It's very nice. It's peaceful. It's quiet. And I'm just grateful to God that, you know, HVAC was able to help me to afford a place like this for my family and, you know, for me to settle my roots and get locked in, man. So I got a lot of good insight over the last year and a half. I've grown tremendously as a technician in the trade, and I want to be able to share that information with you guys, and hopefully you'll be able to take some of this information and grow yourself. Now, I know the last few episodes, we were kind of exploring different facets of the trade. We looked at possibly going away from being a technician and going to actually residential technician and going to maybe a commercial tech application. So, you know, I want to focus more on the residential side of it because right now there have been some, you know, milestones that I've been able to reach and I want to focus on sharing that with you guys. And then I'll still have other technicians who are able to come on the show and give their insight and share their successes. But man, it's been a wild ride. I don't know. Most of you may not know, but I was renting the house where the other studio was. And when the housing market kind of crashed, but it blew up. Everybody was selling their houses and the house that I was in, I was renting. I actually, had plans on buying that house. I put a contract on the house. However, the person I was renting the house from was offered a cash price, I think between 30 and 50 grand more than what we were offering. So she took that, you know, so it forced us to have to move and to go to a different, location where I could not really focus on the podcast, you know, with my big family here. I got a lot of kids. It's a lot of distractions. And we moved to a smaller place for a very short period of time just to do what I needed to do to be able to afford this place. So, like I said, man, I'm not upset about anything. I'm glad I am where I am. I think this is exactly where I need to be. And I'm just excited to be able to start recording these episodes again. So to kind of give you a little bit about what's been going on with me ever since the last episode. I actually was able to qualify that year to go to Arizona. And Arizona is like the Super Bowl of HVAC technicians who are in the trade that can do really well in regards to repair revenue and sales revenue. And I believe my revenue at the end of that year was around $802,000 or so. And that's the revenue that I was able to bring to the company. That's repair revenue, that's new system sales, new ductwork sales. That's any repairs that I did, you know, coils, compressors, capacitors, reversing valves, whatever it is that I needed to do. Again, my job is to provide value to the company. It's to provide value to the company overall, so that way the money that they're paying me can be justified. And as an HVAC apprentice, your job is to show what type of value you can actually offer to a company if you want to demand the pay you want. And if you're in a position to do that, most companies will be willing to kind of jump through hoops to keep you. You know, if you can show that you're competent in diagnosing, you're competent in dealing with customers, you're competent in solving problems, and you're able to create an atmosphere where your technicians around you are able to learn and thrive from your experience, that's a recipe for a company that does not want to lose. Well, that's a recipe for, you know, the individual the company does not want to lose, I should say. So when you're focused out, you know, you're working and you're focused out there, make sure that's kind of like at the top of your thinking pattern, because you want to create a atmosphere of people wanting to be around you in the trades. You want to create an atmosphere that pretty much whatever your hand touches turns to gold. I'm not saying that happens to me in every case, because, you know, you'll still mess up. There's still times where, you know, I make a mistake or I misdiagnose something because I was either moving too fast, or there are times where I'm not moving fast enough and I can't, you know, get the job done adequately and I kind of lose money. And those are the things that you kind of have to pay attention to. You have to be in a position to where you critique yourself daily. I think daily introspection is extremely important, because if you can look at yourself on a daily basis, whether it's successful, whether you look at your failures, whatever it is that you're looking at, if you can look at yourself on a daily basis and see where there are opportunities for you to improve in regards to your performance, if there's opportunities in regards to your interactions with other people, there are certain things that you can tweak, like very small, minuscule things that you can tweak daily that will actually show themselves to be extremely beneficial to you in the long run. Very, very small tweaks, like minor things that you can do. I mean, if I give you an example, if you're used to talking to customers a certain way and you realize that, you know, a customer is not really buying from you, you know that they absolutely need this repair, you know they need this IAQ, you can see the ductwork is starting to crumble, you can see that the flex lines are starting to rot or dry rot, and you know for a fact that the customer would benefit from this particular product that you're offering or this particular service that you're offering, and you're just noticing that the customer's just not biting. You got to figure out what it is that's causing them to not buy from you. Is it, do you not sound confident in your answers? Do you not sound confident in the questions that you're asking? Are you actually uncovering their needs? Are you uncovering some of the issues that they may be having financially that will prevent them from doing the work? You know, it's certain things that you have to look at your performance as a whole and see what it is that you want to tweak. And for me, I learned that that process of me actually slowing down, not really trying to rush through my calls, but actually combing through the system to find every single component that was failing in that system that was causing the customer to lose money. You know, for me, I want to look at how can I save this customer money overall, right? Even if I'm just doing the maintenance, Can I clean that system to the best of my ability to where after I clean that system, I can see the amp draws that I took before come down, or I can see the delta T improve? You know, if it doesn't do that, what can I do to present an option to the customer that will allow these things to happen? And the more you do that, right, the more you'll start to see success in the realm of your customers buying from you. And the more you can do for your customer, the more they'll request you to come back. Now, I have customers who will actually thank me for buying, you know, from, after they buy a full system from me, or, you know, after they, you know, I mean, they're taken aback by the ductwork price. And then once the ductwork job is completed, they just send me a thank you letter or a thank you card, and they just express to me how much better airflow is, how much, you know, how much more the house is being cooled or heated, and how much energy that they're saving as a result of, you know, the things that I have suggested to them. And that's what you kind of want to feed off of. It's very important to stay motivated by tracking your progress, right? And one thing that I typically do is if I have a problem customer, or if I have a problem call, I use an iPhone, you know, the majority of my day. So I'll take notes in my iPhone, and I'll refer to those notes. If I have a problem customer, I'll write down the scenario. Even I'll memo to myself through voice memos what actually happened, and I'll take an account of what happened on that call. So in me doing that, it allows me to go back to that call mentally and then tweak the areas that I think needs to be tweaked, right? I can look at it and say, well, I made this statement here, but this is what I've actually, you know, this is what I should have said, or these are some of the other things that I can say to help get me over the hump, right? And then I'll write down a couple scenarios. I'll write down a couple phrases that I could use, and I'll try that the next time. And then if it doesn't work that time, I'll try that again. If it doesn't work that time, I'll try it out again. But I want to give myself enough chances at this new phrase so that it becomes natural for me. Because a lot of times what people tend to do is they'll find that something doesn't work for them the first time, and then they'll try to tweak it, right? And it doesn't work for them that time, then they try to tweak it again. And then essentially what ends up happening is they just kind of fall off the process, they give up, and then they go right back to where they were before. And one thing that I've learned is that whenever you're trying something new, there's going to be a level of decrease in your performance before your performance starts to increase, right? So there's going to be some resistance that you have to overcome. And it's going to be weird, because at first you may stumble through whatever it is that you're trying to improve on. You may stumble through the phrase, or if you're working on brazing, you may have an ugly braze joint, you know, in the beginning. Or if you're trying to do a new braze technique, you know, it may be fat and bubbly when, you know, you were good enough doing it the old way, but let me try to get a cleaner braze. So let me try a different technique. And then you find yourself in those new techniques, you know, it gets uglier and then uglier and then uglier. And then all of a sudden something clicks and you're like, oh, wait, maybe I should do it this way. And then it just gets better and better and better and better. So, you know, it's certain things like that you have to kind of pay attention to. And introspection is extremely important when it comes to that, because it allows you to look at your habits. It allows you to look at the things that you're doing on a daily basis that will cause you to fall backwards or propel yourself forward. And one of the things that's extremely helpful for me that I've been doing this year is I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks, and I've been trying to strengthen my mental fortitude, because I'm preparing myself to hit bigger goals, right? I did 800,000 last year. My goal this year is to hit 1 million in revenue for the company, which I'm pretty close right now. As of today's date, it's Wednesday, August 30th. I'm already at 746,000. So this time last year, I was around 580,000 or so. So I'm already getting to, you know, a point where I'm starting to see real success time and time and time again. And there is a level of confidence that I have this year that I didn't have last year because I was going through that decrease in performance phase, right? There were certain things that I knew worked for me the previous years, and I could average about 300 to maybe 450,000, maybe even 500,000 a year, right? Until I realized that was kind of like an average. That was an average number that most technicians could, you know, easily achieve if they're just, you know, really well at, you know, really well at voicing certain concerns to customers, and they're just focusing on taking care of the call that was, you know, given to you at that time, right? You know, you got low refrigerant, figure out where the leak is, change the coil, boom, you know, things like that. But now my mindset is much different because my process is different. And in order for my process to have changed, I had to look deep inside the process and see what it is that I was missing. And I found out I was leaving a lot of money on the table, and I wasn't doing my customer, you know, a good service. I was solving the problem temporarily, but I wasn't solving, you know, the overall comfort issue. I wasn't solving the issue of them spending too much money or sending too much money to the power company. There were other things that I was doing that I missed. And this is the way for me to actually go back through the process and take a look at it, right? Go through those calls, look at the ones that I may have missed opportunities on, my $0 tickets, things like that. The maintenance is where I didn't have anything sold, but I know that the customer really needed something like IEQ. You know, you take that door panel off and then you see nothing but biological growth in there. You see mold, mildew, whatever it is that's in there. And you present it in the customer, that just, it just doesn't click for them, right? So going through that process and looking at dissecting your calls one by one, or even dissecting your calls after they finish, it gives you the opportunity to look at your process and see what you need to change, right? Maybe you don't know what you need to change. So maybe you just want to look at the process and see if there's anything else that you can do differently, right? One of the biggest changes for me was I noticed I was missing a lot of opportunities on duct cleaning, right? Some people believe in it, some people don't. But in this particular instance, I said, you know what? Last year, I only sold maybe 3 duct cleanings. I sold 2 or 3 duct systems. This year, I want to do much more than that. If I can at least double what I've done for the, you know, the year before in duct systems, if I could, you know, either triple or quadruple my duct cleaning sales, you know, that'll be $40,000 or $50,000 for the year that I can kind of, you know, lean on to help me get to the million. So I started presenting certain things to the customers that I didn't even think about before, right? So, you know, it's simple. We all go into a customer's house. We either start at the thermostat or we just tell them, you know, let me know what's going on with the situation. And then they start talking, and an experienced tech can say, okay, well, this sounds like the issue is outside, so we're going to start outside. Or this sounds like an issue is at the air handler or the furnace, we're going to start at the furnace. That's typically what I would do. But now, because I'm trying to slow down the process, I want them to take me through the whole house, right? Take me to the problem areas of the home. Are the hot and cold spots? Let's look at the registers. Take a look at the register. You look up, you see biological growth around the register, or you see little black fuzzies popping up on top of the register. And then you start pointing those things out. Hey, you know, have you noticed that this stuff has been here the whole time, or did this just start occurring? And, you know, it opens up certain conversations, right? And it gives you the opportunity to talk to customers about things that you may not have been comfortable bringing up to them before, right? We all know that, you know, most companies want to push IAQ and things of that nature. But if you actually tell the customer what they need, instead of actually asking them what it is that they need, or asking them what they're suffering from, or asking them, you know, certain questions, it kind of feels like you're trying to sell them as opposed to letting them come to the conclusion of what they want to buy, right? So One of the things that's worked tremendously for me this year is just going up to the registers and asking them, you know, about the black fuzzies and, hey, is this something that is something that you've noticed has, you know, developed over time, or is it something that just started happening? And a lot of times customers will either say, well, yeah, I've noticed it, but I never paid attention to it. What is it? Or they'll say, yeah, I just started noticing that. And to me, it looks like mold, right? And then, oh, they'll go into a story of, hey, I have, you know, my daughter just, she talked about this stuff coming from the registers, and then I saw it, you know, blowing out, and I know she has allergies and blah, blah, blah. What can we do with that? What can we do for that? And then that's when I start to go into, when was the last time you had your ducts cleaned? Right? And this is before I even open the system up. This is before I even pull out my tools out the tool bag. I'm just gathering information at this point, right? Because I want to see what it is that the customer is truly dealing with. So at this point, I ask them, you know, when's the last time you had your ducts clean? 95% of the customers say, never had it done, or it's been longer than 5 years or so. I say, okay, well, if you had to guess, how old is your ducts? Immediately, if they say over 30 years old, I automatically know that us trying to run a duct machine to clean the ducts through there will possibly rip up the insulation. It's going to rip up the lining. It's going to rip a lot of that up, because if the ducts haven't been touched in 30 years or so, it's a huge possibility they could be dry rotted, right? So with that, I ask them, you know, how long do you think the duct system is supposed to last? Most people have no idea, but they'll give you, you know, an approximate age. I don't know, maybe 20, 30 years or so. And I always tell them, yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that's reasonable. Typically, you know, most people get their ducts replaced between 25 and 30 years. And if you're already at that mark, I don't know if duct cleaning will be the best option for you, because duct cleaning is typically done for someone who wants to prolong the life of their duct system. But if your ducts are already at the point where they're at the end of their life, you know, duct cleaning may do more harm than good. So then we move into the next phase of everything, right? I'm not talking to them about pricing. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just gathering information. You know what I mean? But again, this is part of the process where I had to look at what I was missing last year, the opportunities that I was missing out on last year, and see where I could improve to increase my number without actually trying to force the customers to buy or trying to coerce the customers into buying. A lot of the times the customers are already prepared to spend a pretty big amount of money when you're there, especially if you're there on a service call, because they know these are not low ticket items. These are pretty much high ticket items that they'll have to deal with. Most customers, if you're dealing with a customer who has a 10-year-old or 20-year-old or 30-year-old duct system, they already have in their mind that, you know, they may need to replace pretty soon. And your job is not to push them there, because they're already there. Your job is just to uncover information to help them make the best decision for them, right? And what I've noticed is that last year, my close rate was, I believe, close to 34-35%, which, you know, according to the industry, that's pretty good. Right now, my close rate is at 42%. And the biggest thing is that I'm taking more time talking with the customers and really trying to understand what their needs are, because a lot of people aren't comfortable in their homes. They're just not comfortable in their homes. I mean, they're using their systems to either filter out the staleness in the house. They're, you know, trying to get rid of humidity, so they have it extremely cold. You know, it's a plethora of issues that customers have, right? And they're using their systems in a way that's not extremely effective, so they're spending more money on utilities. And the comfort level in the house is just not the greatest. And our job is to provide a level of comfort for the customers, because this is where they're going to spend the majority of their time. And if you can find a way to do that, and allow these customers to benefit from having you in their house. Again, it shows that you are somebody who creates value no matter where you go. The more customers who appreciate you, the more customers that compliment you, the more your company is looking to hold on to you. And again, this is, you know, this is your opportunity to prove that you are here for the long run and that you can become a master of your trade at a very short period of time. And that will demand the big bucks, right? Because if you can afford to provide a service to the customers and you can afford to provide a service to the company, they can afford to pay you very well. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. Hey, look, man, I appreciate y'all being on this journey with me today. This is episode 1 of season 2. These episodes will be coming back pretty frequently as well. I'll see if we can get back to doing at least once a week. And I'm looking forward to having a few guests come on, and hopefully I can have that happen very shortly. Hey, look, man, I appreciate y'all rocking with me. Thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you next time.